Once again, good morning and welcome to Lindsay Lane. If you would turn with me to John chapter 14, verses 25 through 31, this is going to complete the series of messages that we've had through this chapter. This chapter has been a wealth of information, would you agree? Absolutely, and we have gleaned from it a great deal. Today we're going to be talking about peace in troubling times. What a timely message, right? But imagine that this has been penned for several hundred years. How is it that it could be applicable today if it's been written for so long? Because Jesus fills every need, no matter where it is or when it is that we find ourselves. Amen? And He will also do for all eternity. So as we look today, peace in troubling times. If you remember, we have a common theme that we continue to remind you of in chapter 14, the very first verse. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so He is not only reminding of his deity, but He's also reminding us, if you believe in the Father, then you're going to believe in me. You can't separate the two. You can't have God without the Son. You can't have the Son without God. They're one and the same. You can't separate. But then we found out, too, is that we also have the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is also God Himself. Coming in the Spirit, guide us, direct us, to give us strength. But He also brings a peace to our lives as well. And we find that in the Word. We find that in the Word as we continue to trust in the Lord Jesus. We trust in His Word. Do you realize that that is the very foundation of your salvation? Your salvation is not based upon what you did or what you come to understand. God gives us the understanding that we're lost and we're a sinner. That comes by conviction of the Holy Spirit. We realize that we've broken God's law. That comes by God's hand as well. We realize that we're guilty. What can we do? We find out we can do absolutely nothing. But there was an answer. And Jesus was sent to answer that problem. Amen? He became the atoning sacrifice, meaning that He paid the payment of sin that we could not. And in paying that, He became our Savior, purchasing us with His blood. And any and all who will trust in the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And because of that, we come to the realization that now what do I do? It's up to the individual for us to confess our sin, to surrender to the Lord Jesus, and receive the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. That's all we do. So then surely, now that I'm a child of God, now that I'm a Christian, now I have to live this all on my own, right? Wrong. We continue to live by the same faith that we accepted the Lord Jesus. Same faith, same process. You still can't do it. You won't get to do it. You won't accomplish it. But only God working in and through you will it be accomplished to live the Christian life. How is it that I find joy and happiness that these other people have? You faithfully follow the Lord Jesus and He brings it. It becomes a product of your faithfulness to the Lord. It's not something that you can make or produce on your own. It is a side effect, if you will. You know, we talk about prescription medicine, all kinds of side effects. They're bad side effects. Let's talk about some good side effects. We follow the Lord Jesus. We surrender to Him. We allow the Spirit to take over our lives and to guide us into faithfulness and truth and living for Him. The byproduct of all of that is peace and joy, fulfillment, truth, life. All of these things come from the Lord Jesus. Not from us. And so one way, when in reality there is only one way. Amen? In fact, He even illustrated that broad and wide is a way that many will go into and that leads to destruction. But the narrow way, very few will be there that find it. Why is it so difficult? Because there's only one way. It's a very restrictive way. And you can only be found by surrendering to the Lord Jesus. So, when we look at the scriptures today, peace in troubling times. Is it possible to go through a trial and feel good about it? That's a bit of an overstretch, isn't it? We don't enjoy the trials that we have, but we can have peace and moments of joy during those trials. More than ever that I've noticed, especially the last about 10 or 12 years. You know, as pastors, we have many opportunities to go to funerals. And as we go, we find different situations. We find different scenarios. So often, when I go to a church member or loved one that we know has accepted the Lord Jesus, sometimes I look around as I see believers getting together, and sometimes I think, my goodness, we're about the most rambunctious group that this nursing home has ever seen. And sometimes I think that, we're almost acting irreverent, if some would have a way of describing it. But what is the reality? We all have hope. We do not grieve as the world grieves, who have no hope, but we grieve with hope. Now you notice that grieving is still part of that. The pain is still there. The loneliness is still there. The difficulty is still there. The challenges and disappointments and missing them is still there. But yet, we know it's only for a short time. Why? Because God has told us that. He has proved that through His resurrection, and He also will raise those who have trusted in Him to eternal life. So there can be peace in times of trouble, but that peace comes through the character and the attributes of who God is. And by us understanding who He is, increases our faith, which is a product that brings about peace, a calmness to our souls. So let's read the text this morning, and we'll begin to read from John chapter 14 and verse 25 is where we will start. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessing upon the reading of your word. May your Spirit guide us into understanding, enlightening our eyes and our spiritual understanding, that we may follow you in faithfulness. Give us the courage to be faithful to you, but also to surrender. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for keeping us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gift of peace that Jesus is offering. Now, I want to remind you that these men were facing some difficult times, getting ready to face a horrifying time as they see their master and their Savior being nailed to the cross and dying. This was all a difficult thing for them to take in. You know, often we look back and look at these and say, well, you know, we see people in scriptures and yeah, they were having a hard time, but you know, Jesus was right there, so surely it wasn't as bad as we suffered. The reality is it was, and much worse than many of the things that we suffered. Because of their stand, because of them following the Lord Jesus, put them at odds with their own people, their own countrymen, the Jews. They were hated because they were following Jesus. In fact, they were persecuted for preaching in the name of Jesus. And so these men weren't taking this lightly. This commitment was not just something that you just, a knee-jerk reaction, but they had given their lives to follow the Lord Jesus. So this was a serious commitment, but yet also it came at a great cost, a very great cost. And how sad that it is that we think that we, as believers today, can simply sign up to be a child of God, but yet, you know, I don't want to have to suffer anything. I don't want to give up anything, you know. We've missed the point, amen? We've missed the point that when we are baptized, we have died with Christ, we have been raised to a new life in Him, amen? So how many of you have died with the Lord Jesus, have been raised to a new life today? Let me see you. All right. Are we living that new life? That's the challenge that we're looking for today. Are we living that new life? Well, the only way that we can is that the Holy Spirit teach us and guide us. Where he says in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. Then verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, things that I said to you. Now this is an interesting time frame because as we see that the Lord Jesus was giving the Holy Spirit, not only was he given the Holy Spirit to empower the Lord's church, to allow them to be able to continue the ministry that Jesus has started, but also the Spirit was given to the disciples in order to pen the scriptures that we have here today. And so he's saying, I've been teaching you for these 3 years. I've taught you a lot. I've instructed you a great deal. In fact, John reveals to us toward the end of the book of John is that there were so many things that Jesus had done, miracles, teachings, and all of these things, that if they wrote every single thing down, that the world could not contain all the volumes that would have been written. Now, if you're kind of like me, I'm kind of like, well, I want to know what all those things were. But the reality is we need to see and understand and learn the things that have been given to us first. Amen? I would imagine probably in eternity, we will find out what all those things that he had done. But for right now, he gave us what we need and more than we can handle even today, right? But the Holy Spirit's going to teach us in those things. Now, I know in the epistle, 1 John, John comments on this too, and he kind of words it differently. He goes, you need that no man teach you, for you have the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not teaching or speaking against good teachers, but in the epistle of 1 John, he was actually pointing out the false teachers. In fact, you know, sometimes we experience that we find teachers that are not true, they're not real, and sometimes we think that, well, how is it that we can know the truth? How will we ever get to know the truth? Well, if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into that truth. You're going to understand what that truth is as you dig in His Word, amen? And so our reliance upon men is not as great as our reliance upon the Holy Spirit and upon the Word of God. That is where we should be grounded. Don't be grounded by what your pastor tells you what you should be grounded in, but be grounded by what the Scripture proves what your pastor has said. Are you with me? We've got too many rock star pastors out there today that are not given the truth, and they're giving you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. My mom used to tell me that so many times. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And, you know, as a kid, like, oh, I don't want to hear that. So I tried not to hear it and paid the consequences of not hearing it. Can you relate? Okay, well, there's two of you. I'm glad I wasn't the only one. Yes, yes. The Spirit is going to guide us in what we need. Why? Because eternity hangs in the balance. There's no excuse for a Christian to have a closed mind toward God. For the Christian who feels that they have nothing more to learn, they have not even begun to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if you're ever at a point that you feel like you know it all, my friend, you are headed for disaster. You are headed for disaster. We will live a lifetime and never scratch the depths of wisdom that God has for us, much less understanding all of this. Amen? It is a lifetime of growth. The Holy Spirit will remind us what Jesus has said. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, people are looking for new truth. Well, there's so many facts and evidence and things for us to follow. So now in this text, as Jesus was guiding the disciples to write or pen the scriptures that we have today, but we are using those scriptures today as doctrine, reproof, and instruction. If you remember in Timothy, he says, the scriptures are given for righteousness for the church and believers today. But you know, we find ourselves in places and times of temptation, don't we? Can you relate to this, child of God? Looking around, nobody sees, nobody knows. And you're thinking about failing in some way or giving into that temptation. And then all of a sudden, a Bible verse comes up or your pastor calls you on the phone. Or maybe a friend, a brother, or sister in Christ calls you on the phone. What is that? The Spirit's trying to get your attention and say, hey, you don't have to do that no more. You can follow me. Amen? He gives us what we need. How is it that we get that? By good training. by studying the Word. You know, often people think that, well, the Spirit's just going to pull something out of the blue and He's going to give me some new truth that none of you have, and I'm just so close to the Lord, I get it. Folks, that's bordering Gnosticism. That Paul was fighting that over and over in the Scriptures, that they were the spiritual elite, and we have a truth and you don't have it. My friend, the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. But He works in and through His people who are open and submissive to Him to grow deeper in His truths. If we ever say anything from here and you can't affirm it in God's Word, we've got a problem, amen? And that's when you need to be asking questions. We support it by the Word because the Spirit will not speak outside of the Word of God. You know why? Because the Spirit wrote the Word of God. Think about it, folks. The inspired Word of God means God breathed. So the Father spoke it. The Holy Spirit brought it to these men and they penned it. The wind is carrying it along. And that's what the Spirit did. He used these men using their personalities. You can see their personalities in the writing of the Scriptures, how that they would communicate their writing styles. He allowed them to keep their style, but yet He guarded His words so that it is perfectly translated and given for us today. Why is that? So that we can live by His Word. So the Spirit is not some magical, mystical being that's going to take you off on a tangent and take you off to be a lone ranger. He's going to draw you into the body of Christ, which was bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we can work together. Amen? He reminds us of His Word as we're studying His Word. As we continue to dig deeper, He reminds us. And you know what, folks? The more we study God's Word, the more He protects us from arrogance and error of thought. He keeps us right in matters of our conduct and life and living. You know, there's a lot of things that we deal with today that are not specifically commented on in the Scriptures. There's many things that are going on in words and terms and phrases that are wrong and ungodly. You're not going to find those words and phrases in the Scripture, but yet you will find principles for living that will guide you and give you the wisdom to understand how to handle these situations. Well, how do we get that? By putting all the Scriptures together. Have you ever read in the Scripture and then the Spirit brings to mind? Oh, I remember reading somewhere else that it was talking about this. We call it parallel references in the Bible, in your study Bible. Where do those references come from? The Spirit pulls them together so that we see a biblical theme all throughout Scriptures. We don't just grab one verse, one little phrase, and take it out of context and say, this is what we're going to teach and preach. There's a problem, amen? The Holy Spirit gives us a continuity all to us to live. We see the examples, we see the good, we see the bad. Why is it that the Spirit brings it to our minds and helps us to grow in His Word? So the Spirit uses the Word to give us peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. His Word gives and shows His love for us. In John 15, verse 9 through 10, He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And my love, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Folks, Jesus is calling us to love Him, serve Him, the very same way that He came to the earth and served the Father. Amen? There's our bar of achievement. There is our level that we're striving for. That is who we are seeking to be like. So what happens when we have believers around us that are failing and falling apart or just giving up and just walk away from the faith? Do we give up? No. We look to the Lord for strength. We pray to the Lord for mercy. We pray to the Lord that we might help those that have fallen. But we take caution to ourselves that we'll not fall in the same way. Amen? We don't help other people because we're so much better than them. We help them probably because we've been there. Amen? We're not alone in this walk of life. We're not alone in the failures and the weaknesses that we have. We're not alone. Satan would love more than anything else to get you by yourself, to get you feeling alone, to get you discouraged to the point that you give up. He's going to try to convince you that God's never going to forgive you for what you've done. But you know what? In true repentance, the Lord will forgive you. Amen? That's the glory of salvation, that He can restore. Now, sometimes do those sins carry consequences? Sometimes. But the joy that God brings can overflow. Heal the scars. Lift us to a new place of renewal. We're going to study about that tonight in our Bible study tonight. John chapter 15, verse 11, He also brings joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. As the Spirit guides us, reminds us of the Word, guides us and teaches us in the Word, we can find peace, love, and joy. Is it our joy? No, it's His joy, right? Is it our love? No, it's His love. Is it our peace? No, it's the peace that He has given. Are you seeing a theme here, folks? If you're trying to do this all on your own, it's a futile exercise. Peace I leave you. As we read there in verse 27, He tells us about the peace that He leaves with us. It's His peace. He gives it to us, not as the world gives. But let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. What is the peace that He leaves us? Well, the word for peace throughout Scripture is shalom. You'll see that in the Hebrew. It's actually the greetings that they would give to one another. And is a wishing of or pronouncing a time of peace and absence of war or troubles. And it's also made for that you want the greatest good for that individual. And so that's what God is extending to us. Jesus desires that the work, that all things will work for our good. And He is working so that all things will be for our good. In fact, He works harder than anyone else would ever work, that your life will be blessed. Amen? He works harder than even you. Praise the Lord. Amen? Because there's some things I do my very best and I find out that was the dumbest thing I could have done. You ever been there? I've been there. But Jesus doesn't stand back and say, oh, oops. Glad that's not in His vocabulary. Amen? He says, my peace that I give you, the presence of the Holy Spirit through the teaching of the Word of God brings peace to the believer's life as we're looking for peace because it was already given. Now, here's something that is interesting that I begin to think about. As Jesus says, my peace I give to you. So often as we go through life, we're trying to, in fact, even right now, we're talking about COVID, we're talking about the results of COVID, we're looking at the economy, things changing our economy, and things not going the way we wanted to go, and the workforce, and all this confusion, and difficulty, and we're thinking, man, things are just going to get worse and worse, and you watch the news, and if you weren't worrying about something, they'll let you know something else that you should be worrying about, and you're just like, my goodness, this is driving me crazy. Are you with me? So we stop and think that, well, when are we ever going to have peace? As God's people, we'll have it now. Amen? It's already been given to us. It's a matter of where we are seeking to find that peace. You know, as soon as we realize here, we are here to serve. This is just a temporary time. You know why we're here? We are here to serve and to work and to labor in the Lord. We're here to witness. We're here to share God's love and to be an example of those who have never known Christ. We are to reflect that love and His character. This isn't home. And we can go back, get online and look. I don't know how many messages, probably 5 or 6 back. This is not home. Home is where the Lord is. Amen? He gives it not as the world gives. What does that mean? I took a quote from Warren Wiersbe's commentary. It really just laid it out. What's the difference of the world peace that it gives compared to the peace that God gives? It says the world bases its peace on its resources, while God's peace depends upon relationships. To be right with God means to enjoy the peace of God. The world depends on personal ability, but the Christian depends on spiritual adequacy in Christ. In the world, peace is something you hope for or work for. But to the Christian, peace is God's wonderful gift received by faith. Wow, doesn't that just kind of give you a moment to just breathe a sigh of relief and say, thank the Lord, it's not all about me earning it. Amen? How many of you still struggle with the fact that Jesus has saved you? in spite of yourself. You feel like you don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. You haven't done enough. Well, guess what? According to the scriptures, you have all of it. You have all of his love. Even in times that we think that, well, I'm not living the way I should. I'm not so sure the Lord really loves me as much as he used to. The reality is his love never changes for you. He loves you today as much as he loved you when he hung upon the cross and died for you. He loves you as much today as much as the Father loved you by determining to send his Son to die for a world that didn't want him and hated him. His love never changes. Our closeness to be able to feel and understand and to interpret his love may change from time to time because of where we are in our relationship with him. Amen? Jesus will return to the Father. He goes back to the Father, and this was a good thing, so that the ministry of the Spirit would come, but then also Jesus would act as our high priest. He assured them that they would see him again as a resurrected Savior. Now remember, he is saying all this before he even dies upon the cross. He's laying out everything that's going to happen and all that he's going to do and all that he's going to satisfy. Wow, does he know the future? Yes, he does. He says, as a resurrected Savior, you will see me again, just the same as he will raise all believers to new life to be with him. Doesn't that give us great hope? Doesn't it give us peace for now in knowing that even those who have gone, we will see again? Jesus' return to heaven made it possible for his intercessory ministry and serving as our high priest. In Hebrews 2:17, it says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He come as a man. He died with a physical body because the requirements of the law required the shedding of blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, as we see in the book of Hebrews. And so Jesus had to come in a body, physically suffer and die, to be the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? He was the atoning sacrifice. So all the wrath of God, Jesus satisfied that. So every temptation, every failure, every sin that you're struggling with today, Jesus has paid for it. So you may be thinking, well, why don't I feel peace? Because you haven't acknowledged that he has died for it, that you have disobeyed him and repented and turned from it and turned back to Christ. And that's our topic for tonight. My last thought is hold to faith in troubling times. In John chapter 12, verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. The ruler of this world is Satan himself. Jesus said, we're going to cast him out. Every sin and difficulty, Jesus has already claimed victory over it. Isn't that wonderful? Every pain and every suffering that you go through, that you're battling, he's won. And all we have to do is find that victory in him. So think about it. Satan or the world cannot trouble our hearts if we are fully yielded to the peace of God through his Spirit. I want you to think about something in this. So often we want to find peace in times of difficulty. Battle time is, and now we're going to battle. Amen? You know, you don't wait till the battle time is, and now we're going into war, and say, oh, we need to train soldiers. No. You train them first to prepare them for battle so that their response is immediately the right one. And that's something interesting as I've been thinking about. People talk about training and things like that, and I've talked with different military men, and they said they literally just kind of, they break you down in every way that they can, and they build you back up the military way. So that when you go on the battlefield, adrenaline's running, you're not thinking straight. They give you a command, and boom, you'll see men running in. You know, there's bullets and explosions going on. They run to the middle of it. Now, the rest of us, we'd run the other way, right? But it's in their training. They don't think about it. They don't consider what's on the other side. They go. It becomes a response that is ingrained within them. As soldiers of the cross, we must be trained by the Word of God. We must be trained and in tune with the Holy Spirit so that when the battle comes, we're all ready to go. Our daily walk is a preparation and an exercise of our faith for a time of testing and trials so that we might be victorious in this life and bring glory to God in the life to come. You will not be faithful in times of stress and pain if you neglect faithfulness in times of ease. We must grow in faithfulness to be strong for the battle that lay ahead of us and be in tune with the Spirit of truth when we need answers and directions for the decisions of life. We always want to get in tune. We always want to get right when things are falling apart. But God calls us to get it right today. Amen? Do you realize it's going to be 70 degrees today? 37 for the low and 70 for the high. There's 100 things that people are thinking of besides being in God's house right now. There's a lot of things that we could go do today instead of thinking about the message and challenging. Let God challenge me. Are there some convictions that come to your heart today? I hope you take your bulletin. Now, mine looks different here because I write all over mine. Take that bulletin and take notes. Write down scripture verses. What is that conviction? What is your takeaway today? What is it that you need to let the Spirit work on you for this week? You know, I spend several hours preparing messages every week. I spend a great deal of time trying to share the Word, understand the Word, get right with the Word, and then produce it to you. I want to ask you to spend some time going over the messages in the Word. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a man. Take the authority of God's word for it. Amen? Let it change you. Let it form you. Let it change your life. You can have good feelings here today, but that is not the peace of God. Not until you repent, confess those sins to the Lord, ask Him to help you make it right, and help you to stay right. And turn from that sin. That's what repentance means. Turning from sin and turning to God. And only when that happens in your personal time, in your Bible study, in your life, will this all be worthwhile. Otherwise, I'm just talking to you and, yeah, it feels good. I like that. I don't like that. And okay, let's go home. I did you no good. The Word of God did you no good. But until you allow the Spirit of God to take control of your heart, maybe He needs to break it. Maybe He needs to heal it. Maybe He needs to just show you something to get you all excited about who He is. I don't know all that He has in store for you, but I've experienced all of those times with Him and how freeing, how satisfying, and how glorious it is.